What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back. This is the Deep Corner, episode 22. I'm Rob St. Clair, and a special guest today from Southern California, the rising tide, Mr. Ryan Windisch. Welcome to the show.
How's it going, guys?
Thanks for hopping on with me, buddy. A lot I want to get to. For you're a cool story and another SoCal JUCO product, like a couple I've had on the show so far. But you in particular, now you're actually the head coach at Irvine Valley, where you played a couple years at JUCO. So first of all, what can you do as the head coach while we're all like kind of sheltered in place right now? You can't get in the gym, work with your kids. So what is there that you can do?
Well, with JUCO, we're in a little bit of a different situation where the kids are all in the volleyball class. My guys are still taking volleyball as a class. They're going to get a grade. They're going to get units for it. So keeping them on top of that, you know, just holding them accountable is big. The biggest thing is their end goal is transferring, get into the 4-year. And just because everybody else is paused right now doesn't mean we're allowed to pause. They are finishing finals today, finish their finals, get those grades. You know, if some kids were accepted into those 4 years, they're making their decisions moving forward. But the biggest thing is on their end goal, which is for most of them, the 4-year level playing or academically.
Yeah, which is a really interesting, very unique coaching position for you, because like a lot of like, you know, standard coaches at the college level are like, all right, I'm developing my players for myself to have for 3 or 4 years. But you are in a different situation because you're like, your goal is to develop kids to get out of there, to transfer, which is exactly what you did. So you have a unique perspective on kind of the whole SoCal collegiate volleyball system, because you played, was it 1 year at IVC or two?
Yeah, just 1 year.
Okay, and then you went to Long Beach State. You successfully made the jump to 4 year and had a pretty good career. I know you were starting pretty much every match your senior year, right, until you got hurt. So you're a success story of the JUCO system. What was the jump like from JUCO to Long Beach State?
The jump was, you know, interesting. From club to IVC, I felt the level of play would jump quite a bit, and in a way it did. The guys were a little bit more physical, definitely had a better. I came onto a team that just won a state championship, so the expectations were high. And then the jump from IVC to Long Beach State was even greater, because like you talked about, it's a long process. The coach knows, you know, it was Alan Knipe right when he got back from
National
Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
And he begins to build his program up again. And being a part of that was, you know, an amazing experience. It's the reason I'm coaching. The jump from IVC to Long Beach State is the reason I'm coaching. But volleyball wise, I felt like I was learning how to ride a bike or learning how to pass a ball for the very first time. You know, the things I was told, I've never been told before, never been able to look at things or volleyball that way until I got to Long Beach State. And now that's only I see.
Okay, get into that a little bit more, like from the perspective of playing libero, because you're actually the first libero I've had on the show, which is a crime. I love talking to liberos and hearing like from about the game from their perspective, because it's really the position that I understand the least. But like you said, there was kind of a physical difference when you got to IVC from having played, you know, high school club, just in kind of size and I assume hitting and serving speed. But at Long Beach, it's kind of a different story. Like you talked about breaking down your passing and kind of building it up from the beginning. Was that because of just how you were being served at? Or talk about that a little bit more for like people who understand the libero position.
Yeah, well, I mean, my big saying is liberos are people too. You know, we aren't just the guy that wears the different color jersey. I'm pretty sure I yelled that at refs a few times of whatever calls. But instead of just looking at passing individually, you know, the responsibilities, you know, now it's a little bit more present, were shown to me in a way that I haven't seen it before. Sure, I was going around, I was free passing every ball, doing what I can. I had really no rules. And so the first thing we did when we got to Long Beach, there was probably, you know, I was just a walk-on. We probably had 4, 5, 6 other liberos in the gym, and each position group was set up to design a job. And just by breaking down our job description of more than pass the ball, dig the ball, it was run the throw. You know, one thing I figured out was So it's kind of being a supporting role to everybody else. And so when I got to Long Beach, I realized that it's more than just me. It was, I'm doing this so everybody else could do their job and put everything in a bigger perspective.
Okay, your audio cut out a little bit there in the middle, but I think I got the gist of what you're saying. That's that, you were, in JUCO, you were kind of free to kind of run around the court and do your thing, but you said it was broken down by job description at Long Beach. And then I think people who have played volleyball at a pretty high level understand how important the libero is and what they can do to make all of their teammates around them better, whether that's take up 50% of the court and serve receive or be a reliable second setter to run kind of an offense when the setter takes first ball or whatever. It's cool to hear that that's like that was expanded upon once you got to the Division I level, that the libero position can be that much more than just a passer and a defender.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, now as a coach too, looking at it, I hold my liberos definitely to a higher standard than I would have if I wasn't. And it's hopefully rubbing off on them and making them feel a little bit more self-confident nowadays.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask about how having played libero influences you as a coach, because liberos don't hit, they don't block, at the highest levels of men's, they don't serve. You set, but in a different way than a setter does. But like as a head coach, you're kind of responsible for teaching all those skills to all the positions. What's that like having played libero and having now to see and coach all positions, because I know you've seen the game at every level at every position, but you haven't necessarily done it. What's that kind of like?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, and other liberos out there can attest, that when we break off to do drills, whether it's anything but, the liberos are kind of forgotten, hitting drills, blocking drills, whatever. And I think that, especially my 3 years at Long Beach, I took the time to find a way to understand what my teammates' jobs were. That way, once the game, we're in the match, I could have a conversation with them of what they're seeing, why they're doing it, and then tell them what I'm seeing. So, and yeah, I need to be perfect. So because to set the middle, you got to have basically a perfect pass. But I'm listening to what the coach is saying to the setters, to the middles, why they're doing it, just doing it because they say. So finding out that why was huge. And then blocking wise, as a defender, it made things easier when I knew what the blockers were seeing. Sure, I was looking at what I was going to do or make my adjustments, whatever. But if I know what the blockers are going to do, I'm going to be one step ahead. And so I think that both offensively, block and defensive wise, understanding the roles around me made it easier to transition into coaching. That's all I was looking at, since my job description was to support their jobs. And that's kind of how things. Now, as a coach.
Cool. Yeah, it's you do have kind of the best seat in the house to especially to your teammates' blockers. You can see everything that's going on up there, and you obviously have to respond to that to do your job. But that's kind of cool, is that you can sit back there and understand kind of the flow of traffic, so to speak, and then when you transition to coaching, you now have the view to direct the traffic from the sidelines. That's kind of a cool switch. So
Yeah, definitely.
I have
Sorry,
a
go ahead.
Yeah, I have a homework assignment for everybody that's watching this right now, and that's go to the Rising Tides Instagram at Rising Tide VB, I think, and scroll down a little bit. And there was a play from last year when you were playing a match. It's one of the like weirdest, crazy scramble plays I've ever seen, and you ended up like just setting a ball over the net and scoring a point. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
First of all, very rare that a libero gets, gets a one in the kill column on the stat sheet. But that whole play, you were kind of everywhere. You like ran some like dummy fake four ball route, which was hilarious. You dug like an unbelievable ball, like hit right at you, as I recall. You were just kind of everywhere. Like being a libero, the nature of the position, you don't show up on the stat sheet. So how do you like stay? I don't know. What's the mindset into contributing to a team in whatever way it takes when it can't necessarily be scoring points? Because I certainly have never been in that spot.
Yeah, it's tough. And I mean, the play, I was having fun taking care of my job. But at the same time, you know, it's that mindset of doing everything on the court that I can. And I think that now, I mean, I'm not playing anymore, but when I do get the opportunity to play, I kind of have a big bird's eye view of the court. I know what's happening. I like to know where the ball is going to be. So it allows me to do fun things like, you know, fake a route. My outside hitter wasn't running his route, so I'm going to fill in for him. Or, you know, I kind of just go with the flow of the play instead of trying to be so dug in and everything like that. Trying to stay engaged, it's tough. You know the ball's not going to come to you every single time, but that one time you don't expect the ball to come to you, volley gods know, and there they find you, not ready. So
that's right.
By just staying active, staying moving, my big thing, I talk nonstop on the court about anything. I mean, if anything, I'm commentating what's going on just to keep that engagement level going and keep my brain going to stay ready for whatever's going to happen.
Cool. That's a good way to do it. And it's like you were saying, the one time you're not in the right spot, ball's going there. And I've talked to middles about this same thing, because sometimes their influence on the game is a little bit limited by the nature of the position. But the one block touch they get, like that, I don't know, at 22-22, they stuff block a ball and serve, or they, you know, get a nice high soft touch on your side and transition. That, if that turns into a point, that changes the match completely. And the same way goes for libero. And like, you maybe a little bit more pressure and service, you have to pass nails all the time, but that one like ridiculous dig that you can make at 22-22, if your team transitions into a point, that point is kind of yours, and that could be the match. So that's the thing about the position. I at least from never having played it, that's what makes it so cool to me to watch.
Yeah, it's tough. A lot of spectators notice the libero is only when they make an error.
True.
And mess up, or they make the fantastic play. So trying to string together just those good plays, almost going unnoticed, you know, and if you do get noticed, it's because you did something, you know, out of the ordinary, or you did make an athletic play, but you got to stay engaged so those errors don't happen.
Well, the great ones have no shortage of those athletic plays. And I wanted to ask about like your personal favorite liberos you've ever seen or played with. You got any names to drop that you've like taken some inspiration from?
Yeah, of course. You know, the big one that I love to watch is Grebennikov, French libero. I mean, obviously, he's arguably the best libero in the world.
I'd give him that.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's insane to watch. But, you know, it's... After that, just because he's a Long Beach alum and, you know, he's worked his butt off from nothing, Dusty Watton does a lot of great stuff. You know, good friend, good, you know, 49er alumni that we, you know, I really like watching his path to go. But my libero friends that, you know, I watch them and I take pride in watching them or knowing them personally of what they do. My roommate in college, Andrew Sato, you know, Brinkley won a couple national championships. My co-coach, Nick Costello. Nice. I mean, going back and watching old film on all of them, knowing I was on the other side of the court was what I like to do, is watch them and support, you know, the libero lives matter.
Yeah, you gotta have each other's back.
Yeah.
That's really cool. All right, so I want to talk about Rising Tide, but before we do that, I've got this little like quick hitting, like hyper fast tempo interview question segment that I've been putting my last couple people through, and it's been fun. I've expanded it a little bit, so I'm going to just hit you with some questions. Give me the first kind of thing, the first quick thing that pops into your head. You ready?
Yep.
All right. Early mornings or late nights?
Early mornings.
Ooh, you're the first person to say that. What's your favorite pregame like warm-up song?
Oh man, I'm weird. Anything in the country category.
Ooh,
I can't give one song, but a country guy.
Okay, sure. What's the best day of the week?
Game day, whatever day that is, Wednesday or Friday.
Great answer. You typically do neither of these things, but which one do you like better, stuff block or service ace?
Oh, I've gotten a stuff block as a libero before.
So no way.
Yeah, it didn't count, but it was on the fourth contact over.
That's awesome. What's the best post-game meal?
Best post-game meal? I'm all about the burger. Just having a nice big avocado bacon cheeseburger.
Solid. What's the hardest position on the court in volleyball?
Middle blocker, 100%.
What's your favorite jersey number?
My favorite jersey number will be number one.
Me too. Good choice. Cats or dogs?
Dogs.
What's your favorite sports team in any sport?
Boom, right there, Houston Texans.
Houston Texans. It's funny because on my screen it like lines up perfectly with the Packers flag I have behind me.
Oh, that's cool.
Who's your favorite athlete in any sport?
Favorite athlete? Man, that's tough. Man, I have everything. I guess at the moment, it would be, you know what? I gotta say, because it's all Kobe, just all time favorite athlete, Kobe Bryant.
Great choice. If you could have a superpower, what would it be?
Superpower would be to teleport.
Nice. I like that one. You could make a lot of plays as a libero if you could
Exactly.
teleport. What sport are you the best at other than volleyball?
Hockey.
Really?
11 years of hockey.
Cool. Beach or mountains?
Man, depends on the day, but beach.
What's your favorite color?
I'd say navy blue, blue.
And lastly, which is stronger for you, loving winning or hating losing?
Love and winning.
Great. You
Awesome.
nailed it. Okay, I gotta ask about the libero getting a block story. What happened there?
Yeah, that was Open Nationals in 2015. I was playing for a team called Virginia Vibe back in the day, a PBL team. And we were playing, and I saw that they were going to have four contacts come over the net. And so I ran up, and the last guy was setting the ball over, just fourth contact, just whatever. We know we lost the point. And I jumped, threw it down, and entire lap around the court, all fired up. I mean, even though it was done, and just got a few laughs, entertaining the crowd a little bit.
That's
That's
great.
what I like to do.
That's awesome. All right, let's talk about the rising tide. So I had Daniel Davidson on the show a week or two or three ago, who was awesome, and everybody needs to go watch that interview. He founded the Rising Tide back in the day in the PVL years, and is still kind of in like a general manager role, but from afar, he's on the East Coast. So you've been the guy who's been more like boots on the ground there in SoCal, kind of building the roster. I'm working with Daniel a lot, but first of all, what can we expect from you for the Rising Tide? Are you coaching? Are you going to play a little bit or both or what?
The goal is to just coach. I'm hoping to load up enough liberos. I'll maybe have a jersey there to pop in as a serving sub, but no, I'm looking to just coach, be on the bench.
Okay, solid. And so who can we expect? Because the Rising Tide has been, like when it was born on the East Coast because, like Daniel was talking about, it had to be associated with the USAV region. And Dan was in DC at the time, so he picked like the Chesapeake, Maryland, kind of the Bay Area. And but when it came to PVL time, the squad was pretty much UC Santa Barbara guys. So it's had a SoCal attachment for a long time. But the players, have cycled in and out over the years, and you've been kind of in charge of building the roster. So can you give a little bit of a preview of who we're going to see whenever it is that we're allowed to get back on the floor and play some ball?
Obviously dates pending and everything,
Yeah.
with guys going back overseas. I know you've had a Matt August, IBC guy on. So whether he's in USA or overseas, that's good, to other guys. We were having is Taylor Hammond, Penn State setter,
Nice.
is in. Nick Costello, my co-coach, played at UH back in the day. Andrew Sato, Long Beach State libero, Madison Hayden,
From Stanford.
Stanford outside. If we could get Colin out of the gym in Oklahoma, then Colin
Colin
will
Irons.
jump on. And I mean, we got to keep it traditional.
Totally.
Other guys like John LaRouche, Long Beach State opposite hitter, I don't have the list in front of me. I mean, before all this happened, I was flowing with names that was talk I was talking to, and it's kind of fizzled out just because the situation. But
Got probably Ryan Radira, Brandon
oh,
Directo,
of
right? Those
course,
couple
yeah,
guys.
of course, yeah, Radira and Directo,
Love those two
you
guys.
know, yeah, those two are just killing it. So yeah, Ryan will definitely be in Jersey. Directo will be in a Jersey. And then there's a couple other guys that we're talking with, and like I said, it slowed down a little bit once this all happened. So hopefully some more guys that are still getting quality touches and can provide some good volleyball on the court.
Totally. Well, I was like the first time I met Director or like saw him play was last year when I can't remember which event it was. But like this 5'10" kid is gonna play six rotation outside against the big boys, and then I saw him jump and I saw him like run all over the floor and do crazy stuff, and I was like, okay, I understand now. So I can't wait to see him play. I know he'll be ready to go.
IBC product.
That's right. You've got a bunch of them, man. So I wanted to ask about what it's like to be now in a head coaching role, both at IBC and like when we get back out with the Rising Tide at such a young age for you, because a lot of your players, well, at IBC they're all younger than you, but not by much. And at the Rising Tide, several of them are probably going to be older than you. Do you think it's easier to coach when you're younger, or harder, or maybe a little bit of both?
I think, you know, because I've worked with some older coaches and, you know, younger coaches, and the way I look at it is there, you know, there's no downside whether you're old or younger, but there's only upside. So playing to the strengths is huge. With my kids at IVC, and they're not kids, they're adults.
Yeah.
Let's be real here, but I still refer to them as my kids. With them, you know, I'm able to connect with them a little bit more. I'm not too much older than them, so I've played, you know, closer to the time that they have, and the volleyball hasn't really changed. So by with that, they I can communicate with them a little bit better. They want to play a little bit newer, quicker, up tempo volleyball, and you know, in some ways we cater to that a little bit more than, you know, per se old school volleyball. You know, I don't want to differentiate the two and this or that, but by combining a hybrid of that, those two things, new school, old school, it's me being able to communicate that with them a little bit easier. My thought process going into the Rising Tide with guys who have played at the highest level, I mean, some guys playing in the USA gym, is more of a, you know, manager on the court. A lot of these guys know what they're doing. I don't need to be teaching them, coaching them. So I'm going to look at it a little bit bigger picture of how I, you know, kind of how I was a libero. How can I support them? What do they need me to watch? You know, what do that? What cannot they? You know, when they're attacking, when they're blocking, when somebody's serving, and so being able to communicate with them and be more of a supporting role is what I was looking to do, or what I'm looking to do once that time comes. You know, depending on how many, you know, dates we get, or you know, even in the next year of. Am I able to develop a scouting report for them? Am I able to develop, you know, tendency reports on the other team that, you know, is going to play to our advantage and help the Tide move forward and find those ways to win?
Yeah, that's big. That's high level coaching stuff. And I like that because you made a good point. Everybody that's on that Rising Tide squad has played at ridiculously high levels. And all they need is somebody on the sidelines supporting game managing and showing them things that they can't necessarily see. So that's a good perspective. Another thing I wanted to ask about is about like kind of building team chemistry on the fly. Because you've built a good roster with some players that have serious playing resumes and are ballers at their respective levels, but not all of them have played ever together before, and some of them probably haven't even met before necessarily. So how are you going to approach like building kind of team chemistry on the fly when you don't have all that much time to like get introduced and know each other personally?
Yeah, that's a good question. When I was on a call with my club team the other week with John Sprach, and he was bringing up an example of, I forget what year it was, but they had a meet in Italy or somewhere, and all the USA guys kind of flew in. They've been playing with their club teams, and boom, they got to play in a, you know, a whatever qualifying match. That much time, but the point he made was a lot of these guys have played at the highest level, done it, you know, for the most part professionally, and understand individually to play a team sport where most of the competition all the players find out what they want to happen. The hitters will do the same, with the passers. The middles will always be given feedback. And I think at our level, we're able to give that or have that communication where our egos don't get involved and we're just there to play some volleyball. We could jump on the court whenever, wherever, and make high-level volleyball happen. Sure, some chemistry will be nice playing together a lot longer, like LVC. I've played 1 year with them and that their chemistry is insane.
That's true.
But with our level, I believe that just the upfront honest communication is how you make chemistry happen on the fly.
Yep, well said. It's been said a couple of times on the show that volleyball is kind of its own language. And if you speak it, then you can do it. You can do it at whatever level is there in front of you at the time. And sure, team chemistry in the long run might add up to a point or two here and there, but I'm excited about the Tide because it's such, it's what I know the least about what to expect of the five teams, and I think that's really exciting. And I think a lot of people, especially in the SoCal area, are going to gravitate towards this team because it's going to be so cool and it's going to be really fresh. And you guys are going to put on a really good volleyball product whenever it is that we can get out there. So before I let you get out of here, where can the people follow you? Where can the people follow you and the team?
I think you said it earlier. Rising Tide has their Instagram, Rising Tide VB or something like that. I think you can confirm that.
I think that's right.
Once I'm able to once we get on the court or anything happens like that, Ryan Radier will be keeping that going, with up-to-date stuff. Myself, I'm on Instagram or whatever. You don't, nothing crazy happening there. Just my life, my dog. At Tropical Windy. But recently I did start a coaching blog, and a lot of the stuff we talked about is being put into there. It's called A Coach's Pursuit. And that's kind of just my mindset on coaching as a whole. So that's kind of how I'm linking myself to the world is through that blog that I created about a month ago.
Cool. Say the URL for that again. You cut out the audio. I want to make sure people hear where they can find
Yeah,
that.
sorry. It's acoachespursuit.com.
Nice. acoachespursuit.com. Sweet. Yeah, I'm definitely gonna give that a read because yeah, a lot of the stuff you talked about today is really cool and high level and unique and stuff that a lot of people could afford to read and learn a thing or two about the game, huh?
Yeah, just trying to grow the game.
That's right. Well, Ryan, thanks so much for joining me, man. Whenever it is we get to get on the court and see you on the sidelines or maybe see you in left back playing some defense once in a while, I'm excited about that. So whenever that happens, we'll see you then. Stay safe until then, all right?
All right, looking forward to it, Rob. Thank you.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. We will see you all next time.